Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Here it says, "And they were astonished." The people around Jesus Christ were astonished at Jesus Christ for his doctrine, for his word was with power. They were used to the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that time having wimpy, awful, religious, legalistic doctrine that did not deliver people. People did not get healed by going to the Pharisees. They did not cast out any spirits. They did not heal any diseases. But Jesus Christ took the same word of God that they were using in the scrolls to teach in their synagogues. He used it to have power. And people were astonished because they had not seen a man of God walk with power like that for hundreds of years. Now, it's interesting. I just called Jesus Christ a man of God. There in the Old Testament, you quite often had the man of God. You read quite often where the man of God Moses, the man of God Elijah, the man of God whoever. There was quite a few that they called the man of God in the Old Testament. How God worked in the Old Testament is believers, the average believer would follow a prophet or the man of God. And this man of God would get revelation. He would teach the word to the followers. In the New Testament, we have a different way that God works. And in the New Testament, we get born again of God's Spirit. We get the same spiritual power that Jesus Christ had. Let me show you this in John chapter 14. And chapter 14, verse 12, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." But we have the same power that Jesus Christ had. We can cast out devils. We can, with our word, command diseases to leave, the same way Jesus Christ did. And again, people will probably accuse us of working for the adversary. Some people might. Other people will recognize it's the true God. In Acts chapter 10, let's go there. We have the same power just as if Jesus Christ himself had anointed us like he did his 12 disciples and gave them the power. We got that same exact power when we were born again of God's Spirit. And in Acts chapter 10, in verse 38, and it says here how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God gave us that same power. We can go about healing those that are oppressed of the devil. People have, in our day and time, still have spirits that need to be cast out. In our culture, a lot of times, people don't want to believe in spirits, but they're there. They also have diseases that we can command to be healed. And sometimes the disease may be caused by a spirit. Or sometimes the disease may let a spirit in. But there are evil spirits in this day and time. There are diseases. And we have the capability to cast them out just by commanding it. We can command the flu to leave people. We can command cancer to leave people. We can command all sorts of infirmities to depart, and it has to depart. And I mention again about the man of God. It's interesting that Jesus Christ was never called the man of God. If anybody on the face of the earth ever had the right to be called the man of God, it would have been Jesus Christ. But he was never called. Peter was never called the man of God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was never called the man of God. And if you look at the entire New Testament, the phrase the man of God is only used once in the whole New Testament. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. But I'll read chapter 3, verse 16 first. It says here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, which is instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is the only place the phrase "the man of God" is used. Now, obviously, the Bible is not given so we could have one "the man of God" who would understand it and teach it to the rest of us. That would just be totally bogus. In our day and time, every Christian believer who decides he wants to walk like Jesus Christ, and like it says in John 14:12, we can do the works that he did in greater works. Every one of us that decides to walk like that becomes a man of God in this day and time. You're God's man or God's woman on the face of the earth at that moment in time, and you go, you speak the word, and your words will be with authority and with power, and people will be astonished at your walk. Now, there was a video that was put together years ago called Athletes of the Spirit, where it was a big dance production with a lot of music and so forth. And this production, they show how, you know, the ordinary believer would get in trouble and they'd go run into the man of God, and the man of God would strive and compete against the devil and win the situation. Well, that's not how it works in the New Testament. In the New Testament, God gave every single Christian believer the power, and just like Jesus Christ gave it to his apostles, where he anointed them and they had the ability to command spirits to leave and to command diseases to leave. In our day and time, God, through the power of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ, has given us that same power. We don't have to go run to Reverend so-and-so and have him deal with it. We can deal with it as well. Now, if you're not sufficiently mature and you feel you need assistance, then there's plenty of mature Christians who can help you, who can help you, teach you, instruct you more fully, that you can take on the adversary and learn your rights in Jesus Christ and how you can command these things. We don't have some the man of God that goes and competes like Power Rangers or something like that for us. It's not like that at all. And again, when you also, when dealing with spirits, we don't have to know the names of them. Sometimes God might show you what's going on, but quite often you just command it to go, and you don't have to know if it's this kind or that kind or whatever. If you don't have to memorize a bunch of categories. All you have to know is there's a spirit there, and it has to go. And you command it to leave, and it leaves. It's real simple. I've seen in many places in the world where Christian believers, the first few days they're born again, they already know how to heal and cast out spirits. And that's the way it should be. It's not a complex thing that you have to take years of study and research and multiple seminars and classes and programs to learn how to deal with. Just a little simple instruction. Somebody could teach a new believer in a matter of minutes their rights and power in the names of Jesus Christ and what they can do with it, and they can go forth and do it. It's very simple and it's very straightforward. So that's what I wanted to share today, a little bit about the athletic analogy in the New Testament and the military analogy. Also, before I go, I want to share one more thing, that when we deal with the spiritual kingdom, we have to make sure we don't get involved with what I like to call five senses discerning of spirits. Because you see in the all throughout the Gospels, remember where the one record I covered earlier, Jesus Christ was accused by the Pharisees of having a spirit. But you see, the Pharisees never cast a spirit out. What they would do is they would accuse and they would cast out people, but nobody ever got delivered. The walk of a true man or woman walking with the power of God is they don't go around making five senses accusations. They, if somebody has a spirit and it needs to be dealt with, they kick out the spirit and deliver the person and help the person and minister to the person. That's the way a true Christian walks, or a true believer, a true man of God, whatever you want to call it. So our, getting back to the analogy, the, we have a military analogy where sometimes they'll compare what it's like to walk as a soldier, or what it's like to be a soldier, is the discipline it takes to compete against the adversary. Also, there's the athletic analogy. But again, they're only analogies. We don't, it isn't really an athletic contest. It isn't really a war. We don't really sign up for God's army. We don't sign up for God's team. We walk in the power of God. We go forth. We command spirits to leave. We command diseases to leave. And we have compassion on people. And in, sometimes in the Word, they'll use different analogies so we can understand that better. But it's not a literal military, and it's not a literal athletic competition. And again, we thank God we don't have to compete and wrestle and strive against flesh and blood. We don't have to go out and beat up people that disagree with us. We don't have to get in a fist fight with those that want to move the things of the adversary or disagree with us. We just speak the Word of God. We speak the truth in love, and there's power in that Word. So I'd like to end with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word today, and I just thank you for just the great power we have in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can go forth and command things to happen in the name of Jesus Christ, and it happens. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ.